Welcome to my blog talk radio show, Live Your Music. I'm your host, Margot Joy Denader. I am a coach, singer, songwriter, artist, and the author of the book, The Art of Living a Life You Love. My guest for today's show is my inspiring and fun friend, Deborah Oakland. Deborah is the author of an inspiring book titled Change Your Movie, Change Your Life, and she is also the founder of Living in Courage Online, a spiritual oasis for overcoming life's biggest challenges. Today we will be talking about rhythm and how changing the music for your movie can change your life. Welcome, Deborah.
Hi, Margot. Thank you for having me on the show. This is awesome. I always love our conversations. And rhythm is so perfect. It goes with music, the rhythm of life, the rhythm of heartbeat, the rhythm of everything that we do. So I love this topic, and I'm excited to dig in.
I'm excited about it, too. In fact, I can hear the rhythm of my heartbeat right now because I'm so excited about this topic, you know, and about talking with you about rhythm and music and the soundtracks of our lives. And oh my gosh, there's just so many things. And also later, a little bit later on in the show, we're going to have what you called a songversation. The very first time I had you on my show, we did one where I played a song and we talked about it, and I'm going to do that today as well. Probably about 10 or 15 minutes into the show, we'll play the song. But first, I want you to tell us a little bit about why you wrote the book and then get into concept 7, which is rhythm.
Well, you know, I lost several family members in a short period of time. Mm-hmm. Both my brothers, both my children, and then a few years later, my dad to prostate cancer, along with other friends and family at the time. And it doesn't matter how long you've been on this earth, everybody has a story, and everybody has different challenges in life. And I think mine and Cody, my husband, my best friend and husband of 37 years, I think it is now. I can't even believe it. I didn't even feel that old. But
I know the feeling.
Oh, good Lord, it goes fast. And, you know, we just said, you know, this can destroy us or this can pull us together. And we can make something positive out of this, which was to build my website, Living in Courage Online. Mm-hmm. And in the first concept in the book, I actually talk about the story, the day that we got the phone call that my son was killed in a car accident in Canada. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that, throughout the book, what I did is I wrote 7 different stories for each concept. And each story is similar. It all begins the same, but according to your power of choice, you have 2 different endings. And I wrote about what could have happened if we had gone into depression and devastation over my son. Mm-hmm. And the other story was how we pulled together and how it actually turned out. And each story is different. There's one about a New York City ballet dancer, which is actually mm-hmm. in rhythm in concept 7. I wrote about an artist, a gang member, a young boy who lost his father walked out on him and his mother and sister, and he felt he didn't deserve love, and on a young girl who finds a Aladdin lamp and wants to be the most popular girl in school.
Oh,
all
I remember that
stories
one, yeah.
And how it all ends differently. So I just felt like I had to write. It wasn't like I planned it. It just had to come out of me. So I started writing the book. And it kept morphing. I wrote it, and then Steve Tellamy came in, and, you know, he added his part as a contributing author on how nature mm-hmm. wraps herself around these concepts, which is beautiful. He's an amazing writer. Mm-hmm. And it just came about. you know, it took 6 years, but it kept morphing and changing. And I'm laying in bed one day and I hear a voice in my head. The name of the movie is going to be Change Your Movie, Change Your Life. And I go out loud. I said, this book's not about the movies. And I heard it is now. So had to go and reach, you know, redo everything again. And here we are. And it's helped me heal. It's helped a lot of other people. And, you know, if it helped one person, just one, it was worth it. It was worth
writing
every word.
You know, I feel totally that way about writing my book as well. If it helped or helps one person, even if that person's me or my family members or a friend or, you know, somebody I've never met before, it doesn't matter who, if it helps anybody be happier and make choices that help them feel happier, it's totally worth it.
Yep.
But, you know, I think you probably discovered this, what I discovered while I was writing mine. It took me even longer than it took you to write yours because I started it when Xander was still growing up and here, and so I'd write, you know, show up for like 10, 15 minutes a day or whatever and write on my yellow pads of paper. And I found that if I wrote my hand, it came from my heart. If I tried to do it on the computer, it was like I was editing and going, ooh, I could try this font.
I did the same. I wrote it all out.
Yeah, there's something, you know, definitely Julia Cameron talks about that, about how when you write your morning pages, to write them by hand, and that you're writing from your heart when you do that. And I also remembered Wayne Dyer saying that he wrote his books on yellow pads of paper and then had them typed up. So, yeah, so anyway, I mean, the thing is your book and my book both are written totally from the heart. And so if our experiences, our stories, our experiences can help other people, that's fantastic. And
yes.
I know for sure that your book can, because, you know, the whole idea, I love the whole idea of change your movie, change your life, and thinking of our life as a movie. And we can change the music, we can change the script as you talk about, we can change the locations, we can change who's in the movie, we can change, you know, so many different things about it. And today we're focusing mostly on the rhythm, and that includes music. So I want to hear what you have to say to us all about that, about rhythm and that part of making our movie an awesome movie.
Well, we talked earlier about the movies, and we really are living in a movie. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a movie, and we have our individual movies inside the collective larger movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about the people that are in our movies, and, you know, people come and go. They come and go out of our movies, and that's part of rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're in it for a long period of time, maybe a short period of time, but when it's time, let them go. It doesn't mean you don't love them or care about them. It's time to let them go to their new experiences and their new lessons in life. And new people come in to audition for your movie. You know, they audition and they fit for a while and they become all these acting characters in the movie. And when it's time, let them go. It's just a wonderful rhythm. And that
mm-hmm.
is part of the rhythm of life. And at the beginning of each of my concepts, I write a quote, and they're all my quotes. On rhythm, I say, are you ready to put your movie together? And the quote is, the potential hidden within you is staggering. Shed the old layers and devote yourself to something of value that sings to the passion in your soul. Now you become the master of your destiny. And I started out with that quote of mine. And then I talk about sustaining anything in life requires rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And also the seven concepts in my book are put together rhythmically. I mean, that was done on purpose. So if you think of life as a sacred rhythmic dance choreographed by you to create your personal symphony, how much better does it get than that? And one of the most important components of any great movie is the rhythm of the music.
Right.
Which dramatically enhances the storyline. I mean, every movie, I mean, if you hear a song from a film,
mm-hmm.
it takes you right back. If you hear a song from your youth that it'll take you right back to that point in time and change your mood.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's such a wonderful thing. I mean, there's rhythm in every single thing that we do in life. And what was, I was just thinking about this morning. Part of what was in the book is you think about rhythm, and that's breathing. That's our breath is rhythmic.
Yeah.
Thinking about yoga, childbirth, mm-hmm. giving birth, singing,
meditation.
Sports. Meditation, yeah. Anything, our heartbeat, everything is rhythmic. And I mean, so our whole life is rhythm. It really is. And I think that's the most incredible thing. And
I agree. I totally agree.
You are a musician. You're a songwriter. You know, aww. You understand the rhythm of life. And I'm not the music person. My husband is. You know, Cody, he can hear a song and tell you where it's from, who sang it, who's in the band. And I'm like, I don't know. But I love music. I know,
you know
I love it, but I don't have that ear.
You know, it's so funny because when I think back to my life, I mean, when I was rereading your chapter, Concept 7, about rhythm, and I was reading the part where you were talking about how you've always loved books and had
yeah.
always dreamed of writing one day. And I'd always wanted to sing, and I'd always wanted to write a book. Both of those things had been like big heart's desires for me that were too scary to even pursue at first. And the music part came later once I'd written the book and published it the first time. No, actually, I hadn't even published it yet when I took singing lessons finally. But, you know, in 2007, I took singing lessons, and it was because I saw Dudley and Xander playing, our son, playing music together live, and during his, his last year at high school, they played every weekend for 6 weeks at a place here in Marin called Marin Steak and Spirits, and I was so jealous, Deborah. I was going, oh my gosh, I really want to be on stage singing with them. And so I finally said to my husband, Dudley, I said, I have to try taking singing lessons. And I signed up for them, and I thought, God, hopefully she won't tell me I should forget about it like my grandmother did when I was 12 years old. I overheard her tell my mom that, you know, and dad that I should forget about singing. And, you know, it's so funny because looking back on it, it was probably because she didn't want me to live that lifestyle, but it didn't occur to me. I just thought she meant I had a horrible voice or something. Lenora, the singing teacher, told me I was a coloratura soprano and I just needed to learn how to breathe and I needed to practice. And I went, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Those little fearful things in our life that stop us.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it can be something small, but it's usually from our youth. Like
right.
I wrote in the book in this chapter about my brother, you know, because we would fight and he'd just tell me, you're stupid, you know, and I started believing it. And I didn't think I could write a book, but I've been writing and stuffing it under my bed since I was in junior high school.
Mm.
And I wrote a book of poetry right before I graduated in high school. And I mean, I got straight A's on it. People loved it. I was all into Bob Dylan at the time, and some of it was very Dylan-esque, and you know, but it was really fun. And you know, you get a little bummed out when you're in high school sometimes. And when I was kind of down or broke up with a boyfriend or whatever, I could really write when I was down. You know, I don't write poetry anymore because I don't get depressed. I don't have that. So maybe if I ever did again, I would write poetry, but I hope not.
You know, that's an interesting insight that you had there, though, that poetry and a lot of songs that become super big sellers and popular are about things that are sad. But,
oh, yeah.
And, yeah. And
country and Western.
I remember, you know, the one that comes back for me so much when I think about what we say to ourselves over and over again and hear, and songs can do that to you, you know, you can hear them over and over again. And I remember living down in the San Jose area, working at the record store when Linda Ronstadt's album, Heart Like a Wheel, came out. And I was hearing that song over and over again. When will I be loved? Oh, God. I mean, you know, it was all about not being loved, you know, and everything. And I'm thinking, you know, it is a, I love to listen to the song, but, you know, songs like that I end up wanting now. I want to rewrite the lyrics with the same wonderful music and tone to them, but have them be hopeful for people instead of have them feel like giving up and like, oh, my God, I'm never going to be loved, or I'm never going to write a book, or I'm never going to sing a song, or, you know what I mean? It's like,
Well, that's kind of funny. You know, I just came to mind that when my boyfriend and I broke up when I was young, I was so devastated. We got in a fight. I was devastated. So all I did, I didn't want to hear happy songs. I wanted to hear Hank Williams Jr., one of the most depressing songs, and I played it over and over. It just wouldn't. That's all I wanted to hear, and cry and feel sorry for myself instead of listening to something uplifting. You know, and now I just thought of that. I didn't realize, you know, when I was down, I wanted to hear something down or write something poetic that was like, ooh. And it's kind of the opposite of the way it should have been, but.
Well,
that's,
you know,
you
not really, because in a way, because, you know, the rhythm of the music is something that we resonate with if we're on that part of the emotional scale. So, for example, and like, you know, Abraham Hicks talks about, you can't jump all the way from sadness and depression up to joy. You can kind of work your way back up there. You know, you can get from sadness up to anger maybe, and then from anger to frustration, and from frustration up to hopefulness, and then optimism, and then believing, and then up to love and joy and appreciation and all of those up feelings. And so, you know, seriously, I mean, when I'm feeling down, I can't listen to the music that I listen to most of the time. So I have to work my way back up the scale by listening to some of the sadder songs and then working my way into them. But, it, you know, I guess my point is, though, is that we all, not just the movie, but with the songs in our life, we get to choose what we're going to listen to. And I keep thinking back on when I was working on the layout for your book, and I had a proof copy of the book with me, and we were flying to Michigan for Dudley's high school reunion. And I was looking around the plane and watching all the different people had chosen different things to watch on their little screens. You know? And some of them were watching really fun, happy movies, and some were watching really dark and scary movies and depressing movies or whatever, you know, and they all obviously have different soundtracks, but it's what they were resonating with at the time. So,
Well, you know, you think about one of the things that I've been thinking about, and it is in my book on discarding old worn-out rhythms. Habits are a rhythm, and habits are one of the hardest things to break, and they become rhythmic in our life. Like, it's, and what I write about is, it's like stepping out of quicksand.
Wow.
Onto a solid foundation.
Wow.
And like Mark Twain said, one of my favorite quotes, loyalty to a petrified opinion never yet broke a chain or freed a human soul.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So when an old habit comes up and attempts to take control, take a look at it, recognize it, process it, and let it go. So by rhythmically acknowledging and releasing, we're mastering a new area of our life, as well as raising our vibrational frequency. It's like a breath of fresh air. And
you know, I feel like I got a breath of fresh air just as you were saying that, too. You know, and then back to breathing and the rhythm of breathing. One of the things I've learned in Toastmasters and through meditation and yoga is how important it is to breathe deeply, and how when that's mm-hmm. why I always say before I start my show, before I talk, before I listen to, breathe, smile, and have fun. Because the thing is that it reminds me, oh yeah, breathe. And I don't mean just a little one, shallow one up in your upper chest. I mean all the way through your body, you know, breathe. And then mm-hmm. smile, which helps you breathe more freely. And then have fun, which, you know, that reminds us to get, whew, let's have some fun instead of just be so serious about life.
Well, it changes our energy, and like we know everything is energy. So using our energy rhythmically,
mm-hmm.
especially in the new frequencies, just assists us. It takes time, it takes practice, and to work with energy, it just does. And it's a choice. So every day, every moment, you get a choice to decide how you're going to feel, what you're going to think, and what your reaction, are you going to react, are you going to respond
right.
to the situation? Reacting, I always say, you know, take some time before you react and respond slowly and calmly. That's
you know, there's such
a good thing to
well,
do.
You're like me, you're so into words, and words are so powerful, and the difference in how it feels to react versus to respond is huge too, you know, and that pause,
mm-hmm.
like you said, to think about, do I want to react to this or do I want to take my time, breathe, and then respond to it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Wow. Well, you know, the thing is that our time here on Earth, none of us know how long we get to be here. And
no.
Oh my gosh, you know, and the thing is we all think we're going to be here forever. We think our family and friends are going to be here forever. Our furry family members are going to be here forever, you know, whatever. But I feel very lucky that my mom always pointed out that none of us know how long we're going to be here. You know, she lost her parents at 14 years old, and she always mm-hmm. pointed out to us to remember to appreciate people now, not later, now, while you can,
yeah.
and to enjoy the time that you have here on Earth. And she's been an angel in the sun now. That's what she told me to call her, an angel in the
mm-hmm.
sun for 15 years as of last Monday. And I can't mm-hmm. believe how we're talking about how fast time goes, and I can't believe how fast time goes. And Earl Nightingale had always talked about our time here on Earth being like a holiday, and I wrote about that in my book. I put his quote in there about how our time here is like a holiday, and that we should plan our holiday on Earth, as well as he.
Mm-hmm.
This is my words, as well as we would a super fun vacation, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, and so I had asked Dudley, my husband, to write a song about what Earl Nightingale was talking about and call it Holiday on Earth. And that's the song I want to play today. It was recorded by Robert Berry at Soundtech Studios in October of 2006, about 3 days before my mom became an angel. So she only got to hear it in angel form, but you know, it's a reminder in this song to take time to figure out what we want to do, what gives us joy, do what is right for us instead of do what everyone else has told us we could do, should do, or they want us to do. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's what I want people to do, is to think about what colors they want to choose, what songs they want to have in their soundtrack of their movie. And
mm-hmm.
I'd like to play the song. Yeah, I'd like to play the song. It's how long is it? It's about 3.5 minutes long, a little over 3.5 minutes long. And then we'll talk about it after the song. So here it
okay.
is, Holiday on Earth, and this is the Donators vocals by Dudley Denator. Are you celebrating, Deborah?
Yes.
You know, I didn't, was recorded a year before I started taking singing lessons. And so, you know, I wanted to sing on it, but I was there at the studio. I actually was there for every single song that was recorded before I started singing with him and also after, obviously. But, you know, the first two songs I ever sang live on stage was this one, Holiday on Earth, and one called Imagine that I wrote the lyrics for. And it was actually the first song that I ever sang at the recording studio. And, oh, boy, talk about exciting.
Oh, bet. Now, Robert Barry, you've had on your show quite a bit. What band was he with?
He was originally, he was the one that started a band called Hush, H-U-S-H, down in the South Bay. And when I was going to college down there, I was going to West Valley College. I was working at Tower Records. Well, actually, first Warehouse Records and then Tower Records in Campbell. And I met the guy that was his lead guitar player in his band Hush at the record store. I met the bass player when I was signing up for art classes at West Valley College. And they were the ones that introduced me to Robert. And we've been friends since college days, you know. And, yeah. But he started out with the band Hush, and then he was working in recording studios even then. I used to go watch him record at a little tiny recording studio down in San Jose, downtown San Jose, called Tiki Sound, with a man that owned it named Grady. And, yeah, it just, he went from that to recording his own songs that he did for an album called Back to Back. And then he got asked to be in Emerson, Lake & Palmer, only he was replacing Lake, so it was Emerson, Barry Palmer. And that was in around 1988, and they released an album called Three, To the Power of Three. And now he's also released two albums after that, 3.2, The Rules Have Changed, and 3.2, First Impression? I can't remember what the new title is called. It's the Third Impression.
That's great.
He's
had quite a career.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, on top, what he's most proud of is all the songs that he's helped other people create. And he is so much fun. He plays all the instruments that you want besides what you do. Dudley plays the guitar, and then Robert plays the bass guitar. He adds in keyboards. He adds in the drums. And it's just so much fun. And he records the vocals, and each one of these is done on a separate track, and then he mixes them together. So
that's
an experience. it's a lot of fun.
Well, music, I mean, you can tell, I mean, you're talking about when you were young and you worked at Tower Records and you were into this. You worked at a record store. I mean, come on, look what happened. You marry somebody who can sing. You have a son who sings and is very talented. And, you know, it's like when I was young, I wanted to write a book, but I didn't think I could.
Uh-huh.
So here we are, doing things that we really wanted to do when we were young. So another rhythm of life.
Right. Well, and you know what I think of? Live your music is really live your love. It's live your heart's desires, you know. And heart's desires, I don't know if you ever have seen a little tiny booklet by Emmett Fox called Your Heart's Desire.
Oh. Probably, because I collect his stuff. Yeah, I love Emmett Fox.
But in that is a story about how our heart's desire is placed in our heart, and then it's up to us to choose whether or not we will do that. And what it is something that's so important to us and so scary that we're afraid to even admit that it's something that we want to do. And so instead, we end up doing what Julia Cameron calls standing in the shadows of people who are doing what we, in our heart, dream of doing. And so you're right. I was standing in the shadows of all those people that were in music and making music. And
right. Yeah. And you step out of the shadows and into the destiny that one of the gifts that you are meant to share with others when you're here. You know, speaking of music, I have a song. It's one of my favorite songs. And you know how Pharrell's song Happy just makes you happy, want to dance around. Song is called Send It Out to the Universe.
What's
it
called?
By Samantha James. Send It Out to the Universe.
Oh, I love that.
By Samantha James. It's on her Rise album.
Uh-huh.
Send It Out to the Universe. Let It Fly Away. It's such an upbeat, happy song. I don't care how if you're not feeling great, it'll make you feel good. I sent it over to my girlfriend, and she loves it. And her husband were over for dinner one night, and it came on my you know, I have the music coming in through the TV, and it came on and they were in the living room dancing. It was so adorable. I love this song. And she also has another song called Free.
Free?
On her Subconscious album, Free, F-R-E-E. And
uh-huh.
it's about becoming free from limitations. Courage and faith will guide me. It's freeing yourself from darkness and how to and being love. Those two songs
oh, I
are
love
just,
that.
Just beautiful.
I
love
that. Would you put the link for it on Facebook, you know, so that people can find them there?
Yes. Well, I'm going to put them in my newsletter along with
oh, good,
this,
good. Put them in your newsletter. That's even better.
Yeah, my newsletter comes out on November 1st. And people can sign up for it on my website, DeborahOakland.com, DeborahOakland.com. And I'm going to add this show along with
mm-hmm.
these two songs
in
the newsletter.
Fantastic.
And I'm going to, yeah, and I think I'm inspired right now. My article that I will write will be Living Life Rhythmically.
Oh, that's fantastic, Deborah.
So rhythm is the whole deal for me for November.
You know, it's the whole deal for all of us, really, always. But, you
it
know,
is.
You're right. I mean, I love focusing on different aspects for certain times because, you know, it, oh, wow. You know, you were talking about habits. And,
mm-hmm.
and in my book also, I talk about, are you living more by habit or by choice? And it's so true. I mean, we can choose to edit our movie, as you talk about in your book. I highly, highly recommend your book, and people can get it in either the book form or in Kindle form. I have it in both, and I love both versions. So, but yeah, I mean, it's just so true that we can choose how we want our movie to look, to feel, where it's going to be. We can change the location. We can really get into our creativity and have fun with it, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's always felt true to me when my teachers have said life is supposed to be fun. And that's the thing. I mean,
yes.
It's not up to us to choose exactly how it's going to happen, but we need to choose how we want to feel about our movie. And I want to feel good about
choices.
My movie. Yeah, and our choices. I want to feel good about my choices that I make. Day to day, moment to moment, year to year. And then they add up and create our life.
They do. And I think right now a lot of people are down and confused. And I think both of our books really are timely now. I actually bought 20 books of my own. And took them over to Laura's house for abused women and children and gave them, they gave them to all the counselors there. And they said the counselors will read them and pass them on to the people there that they feel it would benefit the most, men and women. So that was a good feeling. You know, I don't know what will happen, who will read the book. It doesn't matter. It's out of my hands. And it's on to wherever that book is supposed to be. It could be sitting on a coffee table. Somebody picks it up, opens a chapter. Doesn't matter. It's absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have time.
What?
I
well,
would
we still
like
have,
to
we
read.
We still have a little over 6 minutes left. So what did you have in mind?
Well, I wanted to do was read the treatment for script on rhythm that I have about the dancer.
Which one? The first one or the both of them?
No, in rhythm. It's the one about the dancer.
No, I know, but are you going to read
at the end.
The first one or the one that where it's edited or both?
Both.
Oh, okay. Well, let's get on with it then.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. So fade in. Dancing. Oh, how I love to dance. Movement fills me. My body sings in silence, washing away all else. I'm born to dance, to tell a story. Have you ever wanted to do something with such passion that the rest of your life slips away in comparison? The heart and soul of a dancer is aligned with the rhythm of music, transferring the entire universe of that individual to another world as they become lost in dance for a time, yet fully present in the moment, interpreting the movement. I love ballet. My goal is to become the premier ballerina of the New York City Ballet. That has driven me since I started dancing as a child. I've attended every class, danced in every recital, and ballet, dedicated myself to being the best dancer around, and I put in the grueling years of training to be in the position to audition for and be accepted into the School of American Ballet. What a shock when I arrived. I was the premier dancer in my hometown, so were all the other girls in my class. I must work even harder if I'm going to have a chance of even getting in Corps de Ballet. So many girls are prettier than me, thinner than me, better dancers than me. It's all I can do to keep up my class schedule and work at my night job as a waitress. I share an apartment with three other dancers, and I don't have the resources they have. Every day is a struggle. I'm not eating well. I'm pushing myself to the limit, but I feel like I'm not keeping up. The teachers don't correct me. They don't even look at me. I must be pathetic, a pathetic dancer in their eyes. I'm so tired, I can't even feel the music anymore. All I feel is the pain in my leaden legs and my clomping, uncoordinated feet. Finally, the casting is posted for Nutcracker 1. I look down the list. There I am in Act 1. I'm neighbor number 6. That's the couple in the back corner in the party scene. What about Act 2? Yes, I see my name again. What's this? I'm one of the mice? All the years of hard work, and I'm just a stupid mouse. As I walk home from class, I begin crying. It's just not fair. I hate my life. I'm a failure. What's that light? A cab? What happened? Where am I? My body feels numb and cold. All the red and blue flashing lights. I can't seem to move my right leg. I don't think I'm in Des Moines anymore. Fade to black.
Oh. Wow.
Now, we want to fade in to the other way, it turns out. Dancing. We already read all that. I left LA. Shock when I arrive. I have to work even harder. The girls are prettier. I share an apartment with three other dancers, but I don't have the resources they have. I decide if I'm going to make it, I'm going to have to find a rhythm for my life and stick to it. I make sure I'm eating right. I walk everywhere. I make sure I get enough sleep and don't spend too much time partying with my roommates on the weekend. One of them even complimented me on my discipline. I feel like I'm barely keeping up in class, but the teachers are correcting me, which means they notice me. I feel like I'm becoming stronger physically and technically as a dancer. I get into the flow of the music, and it seems to take me above the aching joints and tired muscles. Finally, the casting is posted for Nutcracker 1. I look down the list. There I am in Act 1. I am neighbor number 6. That's the couple in the back corner in the party scene. What about Act 2? No, I'm in Scene 3 as one of the snowflakes. And there I see my name again. I'm in the dance of flowers. All the years of hard work have paid off. I'm a dancer in the New York City Ballet production of The Nutcracker. Sure, there are small roles, but I feel as if this is just the beginning for me. As I walk home from class, I begin crying. I'm so happy. I can't wait to call home and tell my mother the news. What's that? What's that light? A cab. Whew, that was a close one. I better stay focused. I'm definitely not in Des Moines anymore.
Oh, my gosh, I love that. That just gives me chills. And that's so perfectly.
So each story in the book is two different endings. Yeah.
Yeah, it perfectly sums it all up. Well, we've got about a little over a minute left. What do you want to leave our listeners with today?
Listeners, too. Well, I wanted to thank all of my friends that are listening, and one of them is a professional dancer, Estelle. She will be listening into the replay. I just wanted to thank everyone who's listening and cheering us on and being supportive. My website's Debra, D-E-B-R-A, Oakland.com. I have a monthly newsletter. I write articles monthly that are very uplifting and inspiring and thought-provoking. And there's also a gift that you receive, a free ebook, and also a wonderful walk through the forest in a waterfall, and beautiful music done by a friend of mine, Joe Baldino. And I just say, live the best rhythm of your life that you can. Don't beat yourself up. Take a day at a time, a step at a time, and walk until you can run.
You always inspire me, and you're always fun to talk to, and you always remind me of so many things that help me love life. And remember to live the music in our hearts. Oh.
Well, you do the same for me, so thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Please share this show with your friends and family and live your music. Do it now. Do it in all of the ways that you feel inspired to do it. Bye for now, Deborah. Thank you for all the ways you love your music. Bye.
Bye.